Okay, so hi everyone. First off, I want to say that this is not a new episode of the show. I want to get that out of the way right away so that we don't disappoint anyone with this, but this is a series of updates and also a Q&A with myself. Myself is Laura Hunter-Drago, and I edit St. Mary's and produce St. Mary's, and I play Florence, and Miss Samantha Macker, who created and writes the whole show.
Hello.
Yeah, hopefully this will be fun. And yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and sort of talk about I think our last episode was Halloween of last year, and we're on like a little extended hiatus that for a couple of reasons, some of which are super awesome. So I don't know, Sam, if you want to like talk about your life.
My extended hiatus. Yes. I had a baby in January. So that was really exciting. And leading up to having the baby, I had COVID and stuff. So I was kind of under the weather. We moved three states or so. No, I think we moved from Virginia to New York. So we moved really far away. And now I have a newborn at home. And so we're just kind of been, hanging out with her and getting used to having, an extra little one around the house. Which is harder than when we had puppies. So
fair. Eats up more I think of the that's time. Fair. She's super cute though. So
very cute. Know. So it's worth it. You know,
kids. But I mean, a lot of things have happened. So it does feel like, the hiatus was coming.
It was coming. And you know, it was also kind of cool about it though. In addition to having the kid, it was nice to be able to take a little bit of space from all these characters that I had spent so much time with and be able to, over the last couple of weeks, revisit their stories as we start planning, forging ahead whenever the writer's strike is over.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's the other thing that I was going to mention is, you know, then as we were talking about, like, when do we start back up, this whole WGA strike has happened and is continuing to go on and looks like it's probably going to go on for a little bit of time here. And I think neither of us are in the WGA, but we're both writers and support writers of all kinds, and definitely don't feel great about releasing any type of new content right now while all of the strike stuff is going on. Just feels like not the solidarity that maybe is needed. So that is another reason for kind of extending this hiatus. So whenever that is over and, you know, people decide to pay writers, then we will start releasing new episodes of the show. So that's what's going on right now.
Yes, but we look forward to a joyful and exciting return to the story arc, and I can't wait really to start digging in to
Me
this
too.
Like spooky new school that we've got going on, and which has been a lot of fun.
Oh, I always get so excited. Like whenever you send new episodes, it's always like almost like I'm watching or reading a new episode of my favorite TV show. It's like, huh. Yay.
Sometimes it feels a bit like that to me too.
Yeah. It's fun. Okay. So we've talked for a while actually, about doing a Q&A as a podcast episode. And so we were saying, oh, how do we kind of let everybody know what's going on, but maybe also do something a little bit fun. So I have like maybe 10 or 12 questions that we got submitted from people about the show. And I guess we'll like give a shot at answering some of y'all's burning questions. And also I'm going to leave at the end of this episode or on our Spotify page space to ask additional questions. And we might do this again later, or we might just respond in the chat on Spotify. So if you have another question that you didn't get to ask, go ahead and ask it there. Question one, we've basically already answered, which was, what is the status of season two of the show? So skipping to question two, which is, can you talk about the experience of releasing the show and the audience's response so far?
Ooh, Laura, I think you've got more of like the analytics on the back end. I can just speak to the general joy of watching the numbers increase and things like that as episodes get released. But Do you want to tell us more about our audience and where they come from and who they are?
Yeah. We had such a cool thing. Spotify does this awesome end of year artist thing, I think, for music and for podcasters. And last year we were, I'm forgetting the stats, but it was amazing that like, it was nearly every country in the world we'd had a listener from. And, you know, we were making more content than like X amount of people who are making podcasts and stuff like that. So that was really cool to see. We've got like over 55,000 listens now, which is crazy. When we were like, oh, let's make this, it was like height of the pandemic still. Sam and I made a feature film and we were like, I don't think we can make another feature film in the middle of COVID. We were like, oh, what do we do? We didn't know what to do with ourselves. And Sam had written a short film maybe like 10 years before that I had done a reading
I think
of this.
2013. Yeah. So it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. And I did a reading of it back then and played Florence in the short film. And then which never got made. The film itself was never made, correct? It was like a reading.
No.
And so we were like, maybe we could go back to that. That was good. And then Sam just like all of a sudden you had like 100 pages of scripts for a podcast. And we just kind of like jumped right into it and cast some really fun people. Which is another thing I'm excited to get back to is hearing our actors.
We miss them.
Yes, we love them. They're like so fun. And it's so like rewarding to like get the episodes and then I like edit it together and then to have it like all finished. And it's a pretty quick process has been really fun. But yeah, I think the other thing about releasing and just seeing what's happened is we really haven't done a ton to market the show and yet we've gotten all of these listeners. So it's really cool that audio dramas are like such a big thing right now and that people like we see you guys on Reddit and stuff commenting on the show.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, like asking when it'll be back. And yeah, it's just like super overwhelming and really fun.
It is really fun. I think this is easily like, you know, as a playwright and a filmmaker and things like that, you always hope that your work has an audience. And I think this is far and away like the largest audience I've ever had for any of my work. And for it to have just come from such like a organic, let's have a good time. Let's find some cool people to work with. It just kind of feels for me like sort of the proof is in the pudding for like if you really like your work and you're your own first audience, other people will come along for the ride with you, which is really fun. So I feel like that for sure feels like a big
I think the whole thing has been like super not stressful, which is like really nice that then people are coming in and finding it on their own. So okay, next question. What is different about writing a podcast versus a movie or a play?
You know what? It's very similar to writing a play, in a lot of ways. So there's an old adage that's like, if you're watching a film, you should be able to know what's going on without any lines. But if you're watching a play, you should be able to tell what's going on without anyone on stage. So it's kind of using some of those same baseline skills I learned in grad school at Hollins to write a really good play. The biggest difference is the duration and that it's episodic. That is a lot more like screenwriting, I imagine, than playwriting. And also I give a lot of thought to the types of audio atmosphere, like the soundscape of the world. Like when I was trying to come up with a sound that demarcates the transition from Florence's reality to Florence's dissociative reality. Laura and I collaborated on creating a cool sound, but I had to indicate in the script that there was a shift in the worlds and that it needed to be clearly communicated, not just in the script, but in the soundscape as well.
Yeah, I feel like we've also built it over time too, like as like the show, the world of the show has kind of expanded even with each episode, like purposely, and then also the sound kind of ends up also becoming a bigger thing as you expand the world. So yeah, it's interesting to like play with all that stuff.
Well, now we have two worlds, right? We don't have just St. Mary's and Florence's house. We now have St. Nicholas School and the safe house where the St. Mary's girls are. So that's really fun too, to like think about all these different spaces.
Places, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Okay, next question. What is your favorite storyline in the show?
Ooh, I'll let you go first.
No, you go first. You write it.
My favorite storyline? I really am genuinely attached to all of them. I think I'm a little bit in Inez's pocket right now because of her experiencing a pregnancy and having a daughter of her own. And I draw from a lot of that experience when I'm trying to viscerally understand her character, which is something I do a lot in my work. I typically write from some firsthand experience, at least to some extent. Like even St. Mary's School is based on the high school Laura and I attended. So when I'm describing the spaces, or like the characters describing the spaces, even down to like the hallways and the lockers and things like that, that was our firsthand experience. And I am excited to see like kind of where, since the St. Mary's girls are a little bit more up in the air in terms of like plot line this season, like the St. Nicholas girls, I have a pretty good sense of where their stories are going. It always feels like a fun, like creative exercise to like write these other characters. In essence, I love all of them, but yeah, I'm resonating most with Inez's story right now. And then I just always love writing Katrina. She's just a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I think like, I'm really curious about Katrina's whole past and like her upbringing and stuff. So like every time we get little tidbits about like her dad and all sorts of stuff like that, I get really interested. So I actually think, I mean, I'm definitely invested in Florence because I play Florence, but I Katrina always like intrigues me. I'm like, what's going on there?
One of the characters that I think is also really fun to play with is Marjorie. And part of why I like her so much is that she's got kind of like Caroline does, like a real grounding in a family, like a memory of home. And so they, in that way, the two of them are really different from the rest of the girls. They have something to remember. They had something to hold on to and to strive for to get back. So one of my goals at some point when I have a lot more time is to write like a side quest episode for each of these girls, like a 5 to 10 minute little episode that explores where they were in the time before the episodes start or before the season starts. But Marjorie is the only one I've actually written one for, so I could get to know the character a little bit better. Because I was just really interested in like what it was like for a St. Mary's girl who wasn't like just exiled, but to have like
abandoned,
like a sense of home that was not just like Katrina, who had like servants and whatever and family far away, but like really intimate familial relationships.
That's interesting. Yeah. And she has that great monologue in the Christmas episodes about time with her family and stuff at the holidays, which is always really cool to listen to. I like going back and listening to that one. What is your favorite episode of the show so far?
I feel like every episode gets better. Like every time I go back and I listen to them for continuity, which I do a lot because I forget everything now.
Right.
I feel like every episode gets better produced. Every episode gets better acting. Every episode gets better writing, I think, from my perspective, because I get to know everybody a little bit more. I love, love, love the Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to replicate that again this year because I love them. They're just fun. They're just fun episodes. I also really like the last two episodes of last season when everything kind of comes together for the St. Mary's girls. I thought it was like definitely the creepiest episode. Like, I was getting weirded out writing it, but I was also getting weirded out like listening to it. And I don't know. Do you remember when I gave you a call to like talk through the ending? I'm like, this is unhinged, but I need to talk it out. Does this make any sense? And you were like, yes, of course it does. I was like, okay, we got it. Okay. And that one felt like a little bit like magic, because that one sort of, I felt like it was just such like an ease, like one of the easiest ones to write, because I had such a good sense of everybody's voice at that point.
That makes sense. I think the Christmas episodes, when we released them, kind of were like a turning point in the show. It had, I think, also a little bit to do, we like got new key art, which I think helped a ton for us in terms of like visibility, but it happened to be like that Christmas week of 2021, right?
21.
Gosh, that's crazy. And that week our numbers just like went berserk, and I think it maybe just, you know, over the holidays, people traveling and stuff, like we're finding new things to listen to, and it happened to be a Christmas episode, so it was kind of cool. So I like think about that fondly. And then I love episode 8 of the first season, which is called Alone.
Oh, that one is really good. That one's spooky.
It's a good, it's very creepy. And then same, the last two episodes, the finale of last season, there's like a sequence when Inez is walking through Florence's house, that is just like so creepy when you get to it. And it just like the sound all ended up coming out great. And just the whole thing was like very, it felt really like, and I think this is one of the fun things about like doing this together, is like we are kind of like running our own little TV series in a way. And it really felt like a season finale to me. Like, it felt like the world of the show was expanding, and there was like a little cliffhanger. And yeah, so it was just exciting to make and also to then listen to. So yeah, those are my favorites.
Which reminds me, I have to resolve that cliffhanger at some point this season.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Continuity, man. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that cliffhanger. Was I gonna do anything with that? And I'm like, yes, you were.
You are. It is hard to like write and not be able to go back though. In terms of like the difference between a series and writing something like a feature, where you kind of finish the whole thing before anybody sees it. So that's an interesting thing to kind of learn about as we go. Okay, what inspired you to create the show? We talked a little bit about that, but maybe what inspired you with the original concept and the original short that you wrote?
Oh, I don't know. I think I always am drawn to themes of religiosity and like purity and different things like that, I think are really interesting. I wanted to write a story. I think I set out to write a story. The original script was that there was an all-girls Catholic school or an all-girls school where all the girls have stigmata, and then a boy shows up and he's the most special of all of them. And I wanted in the short film to like really explore how that changed the dynamic among the girls. And ultimately it sort of resolved the same way, but I think having had 10 years of space between the two projects, there's just so, like, Timothy was not a plant in the original. He really was a stigmatic, or a stigmatist, rather, who just had blind stigmata, the way that it was described by Florence, the way that she perceived it, and not, like, someone who is there to see if they could immaculately conceive another St. Nicholas kid. Which I think is really interesting, like how much more or how much like less leeway I gave Timothy in this version of the story as opposed to the last version of the story. And I think, you know, that's always informed by life experience and things like that. But at the time I was like, really interested to see like kind of how catty girls could be. And it became more about like, how manipulative
the whole
power structures can be. in pitting women against each other. So it's kind of a different take on it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, and we grew up around a lot of that, like purity culture. I think not only with attending Catholic school, but also just the time period. It was a really big,
thing, back
even in like pop music and stuff like that, you know, like there was, it's definitely changed a lot in the last several decades.
For the better. Oh, I'm like, thank goodness. I feel so like, I think girls of today have so much to contend with like social media and body image and whatever, but at least they don't have to contend with purity balls and like saving yourself,
signing the book with your name in it and the rings.
Ooh, and you're promising your dad to like, I don't know. It's all
really gross and weird.
I'm so grateful my dad never was like, what? That seems like a great idea. I think you would have been like, what the f-? No. Weird. But it was really prevalent, like where we grew up too in Virginia.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, interesting. Time. Very different time. Although we did get the wadded up gum analogy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, super helpful.
I mean, yeah, that stuff still exists to some extent, but at least there's like pushback and like more of a conversation about it now than there was all those years ago, however many it was. I don't remember. Okay. So there's
at least 16.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe more.
I think 20 at this point.
It's 20. Okay, so a couple questions about making an indie podcast, generally speaking, that we got. One was, how do you audition for an audio drama? Which is a good question. And actually, we've had such a great experience in putting out castings for these shows and getting back like amazing numbers of responses and then having like a ton of great options to choose from. It's actually been hard to like whittle down, you know, who should play what. And I think we have like a little kind of running list of people that didn't end up getting cast that were like, oh, but maybe we'll find something for them down the road because they were so great. But yeah, I mean, if you're an actor or a voice actor and you're interested in auditioning for this type of stuff, I would definitely recommend getting on some of the like Actors Access type breakdowns websites and making a reel. You know, it's pretty easy now to get a mic and teach yourself a quick edit or pay someone to edit a little reel for you. And then, yeah, I think the biggest thing when you're actually auditioning is clear audio, and then just playing with it, you know, like you would for an audition for a play or a movie or anything else. But yeah, the technical aspect of it in terms of having really clear audio is actually a huge factor. Like I've had people that sent in great auditions, but their audio wasn't clear. And because our actors all record remotely from their own home studios, we have to have as good audio quality as possible. So that would be my big note for anybody who's trying to kind of get into it is get your, you know, your good microphone and learn a little bit about how to clean up your takes and stuff like that. You know, just basic like noise removal, things like that. Audacity is a free editing program and it's what we use to edit the whole show. So I taught myself and it's pretty user-friendly. So I'm no genius and I'm doing it.
So. Debatable.
Thank you. Okay. So another question, or Sam, do you have anything on that? Or you've been,
no.
I mean, you've listened to all of our folks as they submit to, we kind of do it together at the end and rank them and
rank them and then pair different people with different, you know, to see like what the pairing looks like. I think the cool thing about everybody that we've auditioned, it's just like, it really, the quality of the auditions has been high. It's just like, basically in this role with these other actors who sounds like they fit in with the cast the best. So it's cool. And I love writing for specific voices. So it's really neat to hear the calling card for that actor early in the process, so that I can get a really good sense of how they talk. So I can write them as well as possible.
It's a lot of times it's just a vibe too with casting, where you kind of like, I usually know pretty quickly like if somebody's could be right for something. And then it comes down to, like you said, that's a good point about differentiating between different voices. Like, that's been a big thing for us with this, is finding different voice types. And especially in the second season, we have some accents happening, and I think it helps listeners too, to like know who they're hearing and stuff. So that's another thing that we're sort of learning as we go. Okay. Similar type of question. If you can't afford to hire a sound engineer, what are some tips? Same editing program, Audacity, is free and super great. And I recommend like playing with that if you want to try and edit your own stuff. I have access to a sound effect library. You can get those and you know, make sure you're doing all your checks in terms of like what the fair usage and things like that are. A lot of them allow, as long as you're not like selling a specific product or something with them, we'll let you use it, but make sure you read into that. But having that kind of a library to play with and some background music and some noises adds so much to the show. So I definitely wouldn't like skip over doing it. And yeah, just play with it and learn how to like layer sound. And I think coming up with some consistency of like sounds that recur, like we have, I don't even know if the audience knows actually what it's referred to, but the sound, which is a very creepy sound that comes up throughout St. Mary's. Have we ever actually called it the sound, or is that only in the script? I can't remember.
I think it's only in the script. We call it the sound. So you're getting
a special behind the scenes piece of information that we actually refer to that noise as the sound. But I think it's super effective because as you're listening to the series, you know immediately, oh, that means something big is coming. So like building
or something
things like
paranormal
that
is coming.
Yeah, yeah, something supernatural is happening. And I think it's great to like build sort of your own world of audio, and that way the audience, like after they've listened to a couple of episodes, it becomes like they don't have to listen so hard for everything, because they're getting information just by that type of sound. Oh, I've heard that before, and that means that we're in Katrina's house because there's tea being made, or we're at Florence's because there's like desert type sounds happening. So stuff like that I think is really will add a lot to any show that you're trying to make. But yeah, just play with it. That would be my biggest tip, and Audacity. Next, what is the creepiest supernatural experience you've ever had?
Ooh,
Samantha.
Ooh, you know, I always I'm not sure I've ever had like a true like ghost experience, but there are a couple things that have happened. I always got a spooky vibe at our high school, always, but I wasn't the only one. I heard it was haunted by a nun in Mary House, which I thought was really interesting, because I remember after like all the lock-ins and stuff, which I'm sure everyone remembers the lock-ins from the series, but that was a
real
thing.
Yeah, we actually had lock-ins. Yeah.
It's a real thing they made us do. But
I have a
t-shirt like
from St. Jude's lock-in.
Oh, no way.
I do.
Oh, that's wild.
Bed.
I always feel like, because you're sleep deprived and because the hallways were dark and the lights are always flickering and everything was from like the 60s, I always felt like you could see stuff out of the corners of your eyes, like if you were not paying enough attention. But my only real true ghost story that happened, so I'm from Virginia originally, from a town called Leesburg, which is I guess Northern Virginia, right at the corner of like West Virginia and Maryland. But there was a little museum where I was like a docent for their haunting tour every year. So they dressed me up in like a Civil War era get up and I would lead tours of the town, like ghost tours of the town at Halloween as a big fundraiser for the museum. There was one night when I was a storyteller, so they took me off tour guide duty and just put me in one of the houses to like tell the story. And it was in the museum itself. And one night between groups that were coming in, like I got a huge waft of like lilies. I was like, wow, lilies, like what a weird smell. Someone must have brought flowers in. And I heard someone like stirring upstairs, like in the offices upstairs. And I was like, oh, that's strange too. But when I checked in about it later, no one was up there because that was always permanently locked, that space. But they did tell me that the space had been a funeral parlor during the Civil War, and that lilies were what was used to cover up the smell of corpses before they could be buried. So that was my biggest, like, supernatural, paranormal sort of spooky thing going on.
Okay, so fun fact. I have been on that Leesburg ghost tour because I went with you when we were, 14? I think it was the first time we ever really hung out. We had a sleepover, and yes, the beginning of the sleepover was that we went on the haunted Leesburg tour. So that was my introduction to you.
Well, that tracks. I think that was everyone who knew me from like 1998 to 2006's introduction to me, because I was like,
now you've just told everyone how old we are, which is fine. To age is a privilege.
I'm fine with it. I can live with that. But yeah, everyone who knew me during that era was dragged on that haunting tour.
It was fun.
And if it was fun, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a great like Halloween activity. I will say, like, Virginia in general, I feel like there are a lot of places that feel very ghosty. If you're the type of person that like picks up the vibes, then I think you pick them up there. Like my childhood home definitely has a ghost in it.
Your childhood home is scary as shit. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And my husband was just back a few weeks ago, and he like hadn't, there's like a little tiny room off of my childhood bedroom. It's like an attic, but it's actually just this little tiny creepy room, and he had never been in there, and he was like, oh yeah, that's haunted. I was like, I've been telling you that for a long time. And then I think the creepiest experience I've ever had actually though was the ghost tour on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Did you ever go?
I've heard that is, no, I never went, but I heard that that is something else.
That has a real, and it's like, I think, you know, it's been on like the 10 most haunted places in America or whatever, which sometimes I feel like, I don't know, do I believe that or whatever? But then when I went, I was like, yeah, there's a dark, someone here was angry. Like I felt ill actually. Like I had to leave the tour. I'm very suggestible, I will say that. But like, I did definitely get like a very heavy vibe, if you will, from that. So that was quite creepy. Yeah, I don't really know what I believe about all that stuff, but I definitely think you know when you get a feeling. So, you know, that's the thing. Okay. What tips do you have for someone who wants to create an audio drama? Have we answered this? Not really. I think, what are some tips?
Finding a story that can be told without being seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what was really helpful about St. Mary's, the way that we conceived it once it was no longer a screenplay, was that you did have these chunks of memory that could be described mm-hmm. to people. So the opening monologues of every episode, even now, like where you have Anna interjecting and stuff, you know, practice your English using these, whatever. It gives you an opportunity to tell you a lot about a character without, because we don't have the benefit of the actor having like the full range of their instrument of being able to like walk across stage or have a costume or, you know, have a furtive glance or whatever. So you have to pick a story that can be told in such a way that you don't need to see it. So I recommend a lot of first person monologue shows, I think, are really successful because of this. There's a show called Ake Willow I love, and another one called The Antique Shop. And they both are first person monologues that are like recounting a strange paranormal or supernatural event that is happening or has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that format lends itself really well. Mm-hmm. I think where we are different is having lots of different voices.
Yeah.
So just being able to have rich enough dialogue between those characters that when you're listening to them talk to each other, it doesn't sound like it's too expository, if that makes sense.
Right, right. So you can actually have like act like a tennis match really going on instead of just all, that makes sense. I know we talked a lot.
Yeah.
at the beginning, like before you started writing, we were talking about like how, like sort of giving a reason for the narration, which is, you know, I think is something cool that the show has in it, is that like they're actually making a podcast really like as part of the show, which I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, if you're stuck and maybe like trying to brainstorm on something or how you can turn it into audio, like maybe think about why that character might need to, it doesn't have to be a podcast, but it could be that they're keeping a diary or that they have some reason, something they're reading back through, an old book or something like that, that would kind of lend itself more to that medium and like use it rather than like be constrained by it, I think is always like a good way to look at stuff like that.
There's another podcast I listen to that's an audio drama, like not like ours, that has like lots of voices, but it's called Ghosts in the Burbs. And the woman who writes it does it under the guise of like collecting ghost stories, like interviews with her neighbors. And I
Cool.
always thought, yeah. And so there are, she's kind of playing multiple characters in the context of like retelling the story, but like that's another way to kind of think about it, is like, oh, I'm collecting interviews for a project. I'm recording this for posterity, because yeah, there's lots of
Yeah.
different reasons to have a audio record of something. So just
Yeah.
try it out and see which one works for your characters.
Yeah, and then I also recommend like, you know, getting actors involved early and stuff, because like you're saying, it is, it's so much more fun, and I think it works out better when you kind of know who you're writing for. So yeah, if you're trying to like just get something going, even making like a pilot episode just so you can get a feel for it, could be a good first step. I think it's good to like break things down into individual steps so you don't get overwhelmed and then you never start. But
Maybe
that's
the
just my
best
advice.
advice is to just start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just make one. Yeah.
Just make one, because who cares?
Yeah, people will listen, believe me. We
Yeah, I'm
have been
always
shocked.
looking for. Yeah, we've been shocked, and I'm like, I feel like this type of content, I can't find anything like our stuff, and I can't find very much like the other stuff I really like.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so, I feel very like lonely when my podcast episodes are current, because I'm like, my friends. So write a
If you
podcast, I'll
do.
listen to
Yes,
it.
if you do and you listened to this and use the tips, please also leave a comment and let us know to listen to your podcast, because we will do that. If you're a fan of the show, especially, that'd be fun. How do the actors record episodes? So I think I mentioned a little bit that we do this remotely. So actually, we've never met. We did a Zoom interview with some of the cast at the end of last season, but we've never met in person. I think we're going to try this year to at least for like the West Coast actors that we have, which I think is the majority, but not everyone. Emma's in Europe. So we're,
I think she's in, Croatia, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think she's been a little bit all over. But Emma, who plays Katrina, sorry if that's not clear. But yeah, I think we would like to at least get everyone together. But it's funny that we've just been able to do the show without doing that. Everyone records. I usually tell people do like two or three takes or however many they feel they need, but usually two or three is more than enough. Often, I would say 90% of the time, I take the first take because it just usually is the most like organic feeling, and we have great actors who like really know the characters, and they usually get it right pretty, you know, without much assistance. There's been a few times just for like clarity, or if I know we're going to need something specific in terms of a background noise from them, that I will direct them more. But most of the time, they're just sort of encouraged to take it and run with it, and then I edit everything together. And it's kind of amazing how not complicated that's been. I thought it would be a little bit harder to like match, especially in like intense conversations and things like that. But it's been we've had a pretty good experience, even being, you know, thousands of miles away sometimes. So that's another reason that this is a little bit of an easier thing to do than it used to be, because we can all do it from home.
The last question. Anything you can tease about the rest of the second season or what's to come on the show?
Ooh. I guess that's up to me.
Yeah.
Well, I can tease that I haven't written very much of it yet. and I can tease that I'm not one of those writers that plots out an entire season when I start. I like to let my own writing take me by surprise. Like, I generally know where we're ending. So like last season, like the last three episodes, like I said, I called up Laura and I'm like, does this make any sense? As like a, but I think I'm excited about who our big bad is going to be of this season.
Interesting.
I'm going to tease that. I'm excited. The next episode I have written that hasn't been recorded or produced yet has some interesting information. We may see an old character we haven't had on in a while. And I think that's kind of the best I can do. And I don't really
good.
Know. I think
it's
that's pretty good. Hopefully that's pretty good.
I think that's a teaser.
So
I think that counts.
I hope so. I hope it counts. It counts. I really like the next episode that I wrote. That was the last one I wrote before I went out on moving, COVID, and maternity.
I liked it too.
And
yeah,
so I'm excited to get that one recorded, and I'm excited to pick up from there. So it should be fun.
It'll be fun. No, and I know. I mean, you know, we just want to also thank everybody for watching
bearing
the show
with us.
And subscribing, and yeah, bearing with us, and yeah, just being generally excited about it. And I know. You know, a lot of you probably don't know of our other things that we've done, but we have a feature film called To the New Girl, which is available on Tubi. We just got another huge platform, but I can't announce it yet. I wish I could as we record this, but it should be, we're at a bunch of places, Plex, Zumo, Alice Movies Channel, Fearless.
Amazon.
Yes, Amazon. So yeah, if you are into, you know, Sam's writing and our production company's work, that film is available and free to watch. So check it out. We are working on some other things too. I'm writing a podcast that hopefully will be out later this summer, depending on what happens with the writer's strike. That's sort of a more like teen murder, which, you know, I guess this is.
It's apparently our milieu.
Yeah, we're
just
dark.
Keep working
people.
In teen murder. Yeah, you know.
We are
get enough.
Dark ladies, which it seems like people like. So that's fine.
People like it. They're picking up what we're putting down. So
yeah.
You know.
So anyway, if you want to find us outside of Spotify, we have a website. It's new, newgirlpictures.com. Once when I said that to someone, they thought I said nudegirlpictures.com. That is not the website. It is new.
Probably have a lot more than 55,000 downloads.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Oh, man.
And then you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're really more on Instagram than anywhere else. And it's at new, N-E-W, girl film. And yeah, I mean, if you are enjoying the show, we would love to have you check us out elsewhere. And please feel free to leave questions. We will answer them. And we'll hopefully have some new episodes for you soon. You know, whenever we're past this strike and having everybody getting paid.
Pay your writers.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it, and thanks for sticking around and subscribing to the show. We promise we are coming back.
We're coming back.
We have not abandoned you. We're just, you know, life is lifing, and that's a good thing. So we will
all
see
good
you
stuff.
Or hear you, or you'll hear us soon. But yeah,
all right,
thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody.